everybody. Band Culture Podcast, episode 43. I think we're on 43 right now. Yeah. I don't know. Y'all can correct me on that. But we're back with another episode. We got the whole squad here. Sakani is in town with Brandon. And then we got Cara. How y'all feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling good.
Good day, man. I'm feeling cool, though.
Blessed.
Yeah. Cool. That's what's up. Well, we got a few things to get to. Obviously, NFL, probably not going to talk about the Cowboys too much, but we'll talk some of the stuff going on in the NFL, how our team are doing and stuff. The NBA is still making some headlines about James Harden, so we'll get into that and some other potential player movement. And we're going to go over our favorite sports movies. I think those lists can be pretty interesting, so we'll see what happens there. But let's start with the NFL. How y'all feeling about your teams and what's going on in the league right now?
I think I can go first only because there's a lot to say about the Cowboys. But with my Rams, I'm not going to lie. We got off to a good start, but at the same time, all of our early wins came against the NFC East. Like, we beat the Cowboys. We beat the Eagles. We beat the Redskins. And I'm sorry, what's the fourth team in that division?
The Giants. Have y'all played them yet?
Yes. Like, everything came against them, and our first loss was against the Bills on a late pass interference call, and then we just lost to the Dolphins. That was a really bad game. Like, we started off the first half terrible. Jared Goff played like the guy that I kind of talk about in a very negative manner when I feel like he never should have been the number one overall pick. He played like the guy that I talk about when I feel like they never should have gave him that contract. He's just not that guy for me. And everybody has a bad game, but it really, really showed in that game. I don't know what was going on with that man that day, but he just made a lot of bad mistakes. And we shut him down in the second half. It just wasn't enough to really catch up. This is the first time in 3 years that we have not made any moves before the trade deadline. So whatever we have at the moment they're going with, we're pretty strapped for, like, cash in terms of salary cap. So they're trying to basically save every dollar. But it was a little shock to me, like, with a guy like Josh Reynolds after drafting Cam Akers, but pretty much giving majority of the touches to Daryl Henderson Jr. I felt like Malcolm Brown is somebody that might have been moved. I feel like Gerald Everett has been given enough of a chance to show that he can turn out to be like an elite receiving tight end for us, but he's just flash in the pan and then very inconsistent. But they decided to, you know, rock with him with Tyler Higbee out right now. We did get, I believe his name is A'shaun Robinson, a defensive lineman, just came back from like injury reserve. I don't remember him playing in that Dolphins game, but with him returning, that should honestly make our defense a little bit better. I'm hoping we can get a little bit more consistent and start playing like the team that beat those four teams and got those four wins, and not just a team that was good enough to beat teams from the worst division in football right now. And, you know, really just that. I didn't like what I saw in them two losses. Well, at least the loss against the Dolphins, the Bills wasn't too bad, but, you know, hopefully things will pick up.
Yo, so just hearing your schedule, it sounds like it was also crazy. Y'all, every home game is L.A., but y'all are playing the AFC and the NFC East. So whenever you travel, it's all the way to the East Coast. That's wild. Just thinking travel affects your team.
Yeah. I think that Miami trip, because for some reason playing in Miami in general, good teams tend to struggle in Miami. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's in the water down there in Florida, but the Dolphins will surprise teams like that. They'll sneak up on you and, like, get on your ass, like, kind of like how they did with the Rams. It was a weird game, though. It was a very weird game.
I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are in a good spot right now. I know that there was conversation at one point about the prospect of all four NFC West teams making the playoffs. It's probably not going to happen now with all the injuries with the Niners, but I think that you guys should get in as a third at worst. So like, I think three teams can make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we
still couldn't have four.
Just hoping, because I mean, our schedule is going to get pretty difficult over the next couple of weeks. I'm just hoping we don't, you know, continue losing against quality teams. Because I mean, that 4-2, 5-3 can turn into 5-6, 4-7. Like you never know. Like you can just look up and one of the teams at the top can be right at the bottom. I mean, it's a long season.
Yeah. That's real. All right. Well, I'll talk about my Broncos. We came off of a big win against the Chargers, comeback win against the Chargers. I got to watch mostly the second half of that game. The Broncos were down 24-3 at one point. They were down double digits going into the fourth quarter and ended up winning that game out like the very last second on a touchdown and converted extra point and won by 1 point. So, nice. Although I guess I'm more concerned about them just playing quality football and getting quality reps than I am about the wins right now. Because, I mean, you're talking no Von Miller, no Cortland Sutton, you know, probably two of the five best players we have on the team. This season is more for development, just kind of get young players, get their legs under them, Jerry Jeudy being one, who had some good games, but he's kind of struggling right now. I just want to see them get quality reps and see them play quality football. If they, you know, end up 7-9, that's fine. If they end up, you know, 4-12, that's fine as well. You know, at least you got those reps to be able to build on moving forward. And you just need them to play quality football. So that's all that I'm really paying attention to for them. The Chargers win was cool. I'll take it. But once it was 24-3, I kind of threw the towel in on it, to be real. It ain't bothering us. No way. We're not in the playoff hunt.
I mean, what's not to say about our Cowboys?
I got more to say about y'all than I got to say about my own team.
I mean, it's just been a difficult season for the Cowboys overall. I think when you think about offensively, things seemed like they were off to a good start with how, you know, how Dak had been playing. But then we also couldn't get – it's like we saw flashes of what our offense could be, but it was 0-8 in game. And that Dak had to show why he was, you know, worthy of being our main guy. But just our defense, again, is just terrible. We were speaking on this earlier about how I just see this as an opportunity for Dallas to be able to get a top four pick. Same year, you know, Romo was out. We were able to draft Zeke, and we also drafted Dak that year in the fourth round. But we know Zeke was the, you know, the player that we needed at that time. And so it just – this is what that's reminding me of. And if we're able to draft the right defensive players and also, like, stack up our O-line again, I think we can be a solid, you know, team again. I don't know. Again, it's been hard to say what to think of, like, Mike McCarthy overall. Like, I've been thinking he's a Super Bowl winning coach, but also, like, you have Aaron Rodgers, and that's not to take anything away from Mike McCarthy and what he's accomplished. He's a coach who's worked his ass off to be where he's at. But at the same time, like,
doesn't look good.
Exactly.
Doesn't look good. But I mean, I just hope we draft really well. So our defense is better next season. And just, like, start to make smarter moves. Like, we have this kind of, like, historic, like, franchise, but is such a shell of itself. You can't even really, I find myself finding it harder and harder to like root for the Cowboys, but I mean, it is what it is. At the end of the day, it's a sports team, and you know, they lose, they win, you know, but that's where, if I was Dallas, like defense, 100%, that's like, that's your mantra. It should be defense. Because it doesn't matter if we can score on teams. If they score, we still lose, you know. So that's kind of like the name of the game. But we'll see. We'll see if they'll continue. But at least we know Stephen A. Smith will always have something to talk about.
So
song is legendary.
Right. Hey, what's up?
That Stephen A. Smith song, like the one they remixed. After I'm talking about the Cowboys, they don't play that at my
bet.
So I got a take on what I think the Cowboys should do. My thought, it's not an indictment against Dak whatsoever, but I think that they should let Dak walk. Let him leave in free agency. Don't assign him to another franchise tag. Don't sign him to a long-term deal. Let him walk. And I think that they should go after one of these top three quarterbacks in next year's draft, be it Trevor Lawrence, who's probably going to go number one. So you're going to have to really, really stink to get number one. Try to get Justin Fields from Ohio State. Or I know there's a lot of talk about that quarterback, Trey Lance from North Dakota State. I don't know that much about him. So I would say more so between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are kind of a bona fide number one, number two quarterback in next year's draft likely. Make a run for them. And the reason I say that is think about Dak's time with the Cowboys. They were the most dangerous when they had a quarterback on a rookie deal. If you go sign Dak and pay him $40 million a year, how are you going to be able to fill those gaps that they have defensively? That's where you're going to have elite drafting. And the Cowboys have not shown that necessarily. It comes and goes depending on their strategy. And their strategy comes and goes as Jerry Jones comes and goes. So I think that they should go ahead and just try to free up as much cap space as possible, get a quarterback on a rookie deal, because you got to worry about these guys that are on their, you know, prime deals right now, kind of in their prime. So you're talking Ezekiel Elliott, you're talking Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, DeMarcus Lawrence. Go ahead and make a run now while you've got those guys, kind of similar to how the Rams did. Yeah, the Rams didn't win that Super Bowl, but they had a quarterback on a rookie deal. They had their money invested in Todd Gurley. They were able to go throw money at big names and get them in. They were only a quarter away from winning the Super Bowl. I think that's what the Cowboys should do. They should revisit that, give themselves a new five-year plan to win a Super Bowl, because I don't think bringing Dak in is going to do that. They're just going to end up losing more pieces than they will bring them in.
I think another thing is, I don't know if Dak will be able to command that 100% that max salary the way he would have had he been healthy. Coming back, it's going to be hard to say whether or not he's worthy of that contract. So,
I know some teams that would give it to him right now. You don't think San Francisco would upgrade Jimmy G for Dak?
They didn't get that many when he was healthy and when he did deserve it. Statistically, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL since he's been drafted.
Exactly.
And they lowballed that man, to be honest. I mean, I felt like it's I don't know. I kind of shot myself in the foot with that one. I don't know if they really lowballed him. To a degree, I felt like he and his agent were asking for a little too much. But either way, I agree with Sydney. I think that pairing is pretty much over. I don't think Dak Prescott should be a Dallas Cowboy any longer for his sake. But at the same time, I just don't see their benefit in re-signing him. Even if they get him for, what, 28? You still talking about, like, because he's not going to take 20. He's not going to take 25. It's somebody that's going to offer him 30-plus. And if the Cowboys won't, and he just needs to leave. And regardless of what they get that man, they get that man anything close to $30 million, I feel like they're crippling themselves because they have so many holes. I kind of agree with Sid. I think they just pretty much need to start over. It'll be terrible though for them to watch. I'm sorry, it'll be terrible to watch them draft another young quarterback and treat him better than Dak.
Yeah, that's real. And all because, you know, he's a top pick as opposed to Dak being a fourth round pick, and you didn't expect this out of him. But I mean, he did everything they asked him to do and then some, and doesn't get, you know, rewarded for it. It's wild. Well, y'all got anything else to add about the Cowboys, or y'all still grieving?
No, I'm not grieving. I didn't know what to expect this season, honestly. Already with what this year has been, I didn't know what to expect in general, but also with Mike McCarthy, I didn't really know what type of offense, how the offense was going to look. I knew we had, you know, the pieces, but I feel like consistently we've had the pieces, but it hasn't amounted to anything. So if
on paper,
if we're not figuring it out this season, it's not really anything new in my eyes. So I didn't know what to expect. I figured it would probably take a season or two for them to actually get rhythm with Mike McCarthy's offense, but then also thinking about how players weren't able to do OTAs together and, you know, have that level of, team development. It changes the way, you know, a new team bonds, especially a team with a new coach, and the way they're going to just team chemistry overall, getting to know the new coach and everything. So we'll see how things turn out, you know, for the rest of the season. If they're able to get any type of rhythm or any type of consistency, and a consistency that isn't like just, oh, they're losing, but, you know, you're starting to see defensively. I mean, because defensively we had a solid game last week. And so if we can start just seeing consistency somewhere, it might not be like a complete waste of a season. But at this point, I'm like, if this is how we're playing, then let's just play this way for the rest of the season and not, you know, not end up with, like, not to say number 10 pick isn't great or anything, but it's like, as far as being able to get the player that we want and need, I feel like it'd be best for us to just end the season with no more than 4 wins.
Yeah, and they halfway there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, I guess this brings up a question, and we didn't talk about, you know, or we didn't discuss talking it today, but Brandon, you posed this question a couple weeks ago. Is it okay to switch teams if your team is struggling, mightily struggling? I don't know if you want to say if they've been struggling for years or whatever. How would you ask that question?
If they've been like bad for a stint of time, so a long, like the Cubs, like if you were a Cubs fan before like World Series and you like switched to a different team before they won a World Series, like I would understand type of thing, because it's just like you're just like over rooting for like a losing team.
But I mean, like if you, the thing is, I'll say with the Cubs, You've known that, so you've grown into being a Cubs fan, knowing that they don't win. So that can't be your, after a while, to not be a Cubs fan. If you were a fan of a certain team because, like, when you were young they were winning, then that pairing with the winning is maybe what makes it like a bit more easy to.
So who would be?
I think the Lakers. The Lakers are a good example.
Either like myself with Sacramento or myself with the Rams, because when I was younger, like, I liked them because they were similar. the St. Louis Rams were the greatest show on turf. And I felt like at that time, the Sacramento Kings with a Chris Webber, with a Jason Williams, with Peja Stojakovic, you know, Doug Christie, Vlade Divac, like they were a very entertaining team. Like they were a show when they stepped on the court. And I love both of those teams because watching them were, it was very, very exciting. And both of them kind of hit a wall. I mean, the Sacramento Kings haven't been to the playoffs since 2007, I believe. You know, St. Louis Rams, they went through that Mark Bolger stage. And even when we got Sam Bradford, they never made it to the playoffs. Like, it got really bad. But at the same time, like, I stuck with it, even to a Super Bowl appearance that we lost. But I still stuck with it. Like, for me, I don't see it. Like, the team that I like is a team that I like. And I just don't know how to, no, I don't like you no more because you don't win. Like, everybody doesn't win. Only one team can win every year. It's easy to like the team that wins all the time. Anybody could have said, oh, I'm a Golden State Warrior fan for a five-year span because, yeah, they were winning. But part of being a fan is going through the same struggle as the player, going through the same struggle as the franchise. We win, we lose. And it, like, it happens.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that is the down year that makes you appreciate the up year. Brandon, with the Lakers, for example, the past 6 years couldn't have been nice. Everybody was shitting on the Lakers. Like, they were terrible. Yes. But, you know, they get LeBron. They have a chance. Even that first year, they struggle. But now, oh, well, what are they going to do with LeBron? Bring in AD, win a championship. You know, and I know we joke about how 6 years isn't a long time, you know, in the grand scheme of things. You got teams that haven't won in decades or ever. But still, you know, I feel like you were able to appreciate that championship more because y'all literally started from the bottom just 6 years ago, you know, and y'all were about to have a team led by Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, you know, and now you went to having LeBron and AD. Kind of the same way that it goes for me because as a Broncos fan, I've been a fan of them since I was young, right before they won back-to-back championships in 97 and 98. And then they went a long period of time where, yeah, they were decent, but they weren't doing anything in the playoffs. We get Tim Tebow. You know, you go through that whole Tim Tebow drama. You get Peyton Manning. We think we're going to win a Super Bowl, and we get blown out in the Super Bowl, 43-8. That could have been a time for me to jump off, but stuck with it. So that win in 2015 was great. And they're going through down years again. But, you know, the next time it comes back around, I still got my Broncos jersey in here. I'm still going to rep them. Like, I don't know. I think you stick with your team. That's the purpose of being a fan. I feel like if you're not going to do it, then you can't call yourself a fan of the team. You just like them. You're muted.
Y'all telling secrets and shit? Oh, your mom in the back?
So I muted myself.
Anyways.
But yeah, like that makes sense. That's the reason why I'm a Yankees fan. That's the reason why I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. That's the reason why I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. So, yeah. Yeah, that's that they were winning when I was younger. That's I didn't see the Cowboys win a championship per se, but they were still like they were the team my dad liked, and they were in the playoffs. And I thought that was all right. They're good enough to be there. They didn't make it all the way, but
bro, I'd be happy if we were just a playoff team.
I mean,
like. Not like, will we get the last seed?
They say y'all gonna win the division every year.
We always the wild card, right?
One out of the five.
I mean, a wild card can still be the last time we
Giants, the Giants were, did it.
What was it? A wild card?
Which year?
I think it was it Dak's second year?
Like when y'all beat, I think, what was it, Detroit in the wild card round? Yeah, and then Green Bay.
Yeah, that's right. No. That we lost to Green Bay Dak's rookie year.
That was a good game.
That was a classic game.
Great game. Every time Dallas will score and the camera cuts to Aaron Rodgers, he went, all right, where my helmet at? And then they're scoring, cuts to Dak. Like, time to go to work. Like, that was a great game. And honestly, yeah, it really came down to who had the ball last.
Exactly.
That's all it was, but that was amazing football. I love that game.
Yeah, no, that was a classic. That was definitely a classic.
Dallas and Green Bay have some amazing, like, playoff battles.
Yeah. All right, well, do we want to talk about AB? AB is going to be playing his first game with the Buccaneers. Do y'all think it's a wrap? Are the Buccaneers going to win this Super Bowl now that they secured AB? Is AB even going to make much of a difference? How are y'all feeling about Antonio Brown joining the Buccaneers?
I think it's kind of hard to add somebody at that talent level to your squad and say that it won't make a difference. I think it might be a little entertaining to see how he responds to possibly not getting the ball as much as he would like. I mean, that team fully healthy, they got some talent. And when you have one man touching the ball on literally every play, who's responsible for distributing that ball to everybody else. I mean, when you look at those three receivers alone, but then he still got his favorite target in Gronk. And I don't know if OJ Howard's out for the season, but if he's available at some point and those running backs, like LeSean McCoy is your third back. Like, That's a toughie. No, I can't say that they are shoo-in to win the Super Bowl because it's football. It's one game and you're gone. If this was the NBA where there was some sort of series, best 2 out of 3, I wouldn't see any team beating them 2 out of 3 times, 3 out of 5 times. Just too many weapons to beat them more times than they beat you in a series. But with the one and done, anything can happen. They could have lost to the Giants the other night.
Right.
Honestly, if it wasn't for a bad call, literally, on that play with the 2-point conversion, they would have went to overtime, and you never know what would have happened. If it wasn't for a bad pass interference call on the Giants, they might not have scored that touchdown that they did. Like, it's one and done. So I think he's going to have an effect, but I don't think that makes him an automatic Super Bowl contender, but it does make things interesting, and at the very least, it should be entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, I don't – oh, go ahead, Sonny.
No, go ahead, Sid.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think that it makes them a shoo-in either. I do got to agree with you. First off, we don't know – yes, we know that Antonio Brown left as probably, arguably, the greatest receiver or best receiver in the NFL at the time. Coming back, is he going to be that? We don't know for sure. AB is not that young. He's, you know, 32 years old, I want to say. I mean, he works his butt off, so I expect him to be, you know, some semblance of himself. But you got to worry about Russell Wilson and the dude that some people are saying is the best receiver in the league now, in DK Metcalf. I like Seattle a lot, and Seattle hasn't been healthy defensively. Jamal Adams has been hurt, and he's the best safety in the league. And I think he can be, you know, the heartbeat of that team as well. So Seattle's going to have something to say about it. You still have Green Bay, who's hit and miss sometimes. Green Bay can play the way they're playing right now, or they could play like they played against Tampa Bay and get, you know, blown out. New Orleans, still can't sleep on New Orleans, you know, until they're healthy. Michael Thomas has only played one game this year. People say he's the best receiver in the league. So I think there's a lot of factors in play. The Buccaneers, it's possible that they don't even win their own division. And then they have to go the wild card route to even make it to the Super Bowl. So, I don't think it makes them a shoo-in, but I think that we are going to get – I think we're going to get a good version of Antonio Brown. I think one thing that AB seems to care about is respect. And it seems like he respects Tom Brady more than he respects anybody, any other player he's played with. So I think that he will keep that in check for Tom. So I don't think we're going to get too much drama out of AB for the rest of the season. And I think that's good for him and that's good for his team.
I agree. I mean, I feel like it's going to be a – I hope for AB's sake it's, you know, it's a quiet season off field. But I think he's going to be productive. And I think he's never not been productive. So it's just a matter of them incorporating him into the offense so that he feels at least somewhat, you know, whether he's made a decoy consistently, whatever it is, to make him feel. That's what I was thinking.
At the bare minimum, he can be a decoy.
Yeah, part of the offense. Or maybe, I mean, we know he can also return. So he might be a good return man for them as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, you can spread him out, put him in a slot, like you said, return. Honestly, you could put him in the backfield and hand the ball off to him, give him a screen. Like, as long as you can put the ball in his hand, he's, you know, a threat to put it in the end zone. So that was a great pick up by them. That was a great relationship for Tom Brady to keep.
Yeah.
Definitely make sure that he goes out as best as he can.
Yeah. No, exactly. That'll kind of get his Hall of Fame path back on track too. I mean, the numbers are there. You know, he was going to be, you know, a first, second ballot Hall of Famer, but it was going to be the, you know, personal stuff. T.O., you know, Randy Moss, that kind of impact. But if he can stay quiet and, you know, get through a few seasons and call it a career, you know, they won't forget this stuff. What's that?
For a second there, I thought you were talking about Tom Brady. I was like,
oh, no, I'm talking about, yeah, AB.
I can ballot?
No, AB, no personality in his antics and stuff.
I just thought of something. I mean, I know there's definitely more that went into the decision for Tom Brady to choose Tampa Bay, but when you choose a team that has the receivers that they have and you play a part in bringing in a tight end like Gronk when they already have a tight end, and I'm pretty sure there was some kind of conversation that went into play with them picking up, Fournette? And then now you play a part in them bringing in Antonio Brown. I wonder if these were the types of rosters that he wanted when he was in New England. I wonder if he secretly wanted to have big name receivers, running backs, tight ends that entire time. It was just, you know, the Belichick way, which, I mean, definitely worked. You know, we've seen get to a point to where he's number two all time in terms of a quarterback at the absolute worst, depending on your argument for either him or Joe Montana. But just something that I wonder now. And I wish like somebody could actually ask him that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he would have appreciated it. Was he going to, you know, go out and lobby for it? I don't know. But even outside of, you know, the years that he had Randy Moss, you think about, you know, Wes Welker, how he had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. He had a lot of talent around him, and those were some of his best years. I don't think anybody wants to throw guys that you can't really trust, you know? You think he really wanted to throw them to kill Harry?
With those, yeah. You know, those kind of like, I mean, I don't want to just say that they wouldn't have been anything, but, you know, kind of like made men to a degree.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Like a Randy Moss, like an Antonio Brown. You know, yes. those kind of guys, they come in with the resume, not creating their resume with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. He probably would have, but, you know, everyone is on the hush us in New England, you know. All right. Well, y'all want to move to some NBA talk?
I mean, I got the shirt on.
There's NBA talk?
Yeah. NBA never stops. And, you know, while we're talking NBA, I just got an alert to my phone that they did agree to a 72-game season, and it's going to start in December. So that's right around the corner already.
Man.
Months.
Yeah. So we're going to get a, because I was just talking to my coworker. I'm like, I can't imagine Christmas Day without the NBA. I'm spoiled now.
Same. That's true.
It's kind of early, huh?
Christmas Day.
Yeah. Little lag.
Was,
I got it.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm. What happened?
Is it starting Christmas Day?
Originally, the proposal that I heard was December 22nd.
And I don't know why the 22nd. Play Christmas Day.
Lakers, Clippers, Boston.
I don't think it'll be Lakers, Clippers. No.
Lakers,
no?
Lakers, Miami.
It's gonna be. I think it'll be Lakers, Golden State.
Mm. I still want what everybody's rosters are gonna be. Like, we don't even have the draft yet. We don't know who's signing with who. We don't know who's being traded to who. Like, I feel like it's a lot of decisions that need to be made before people are making these predictions.
Now, also, yeah, not only that, but like, rookies are supposed to get like incorporated into a team in a month.
Right. A lot.
When is the draft? Is that next week?
I was just going to ask that question.
I think it's like
it has to be within like about 2 weeks.
In the next 2 weeks.
Wow.
That's wild.
That's crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
Who's going number one?
I think
Wiseman still.
It's reported that Devin Booker wants out of Phoenix. I would not be shocked if Minnesota tries to move that number one, because regardless of who you draft at number one, they're not going to be better than Devin Booker is right now. And he's still in his, what was he, 24?
Yeah, he's like 24.
Yeah, I mean, he's, I still don't feel like he's really reached his prime yet. Like, he's hitting a peak at such an early age in terms of his scoring ability. There's no telling where he's going to really peak at, especially in today's NBA. Had he stayed in Phoenix, he could have averaged 30-plus for multiple years. But I can see him going to Minnesota, and then at that point, with Phoenix having the number one, it is – I don't know. I mean, I guess you can still say Anthony Edwards to, you know, get that shooting guard back, but they've had such struggles with that point guard position for so long, I wouldn't be shocked if they just said, forget it, I'll take LaMelo so we can make sure we finally have that point guard to put everything together, and then we'll just kind of fill everything out.
Yeah, no, Carl, I agree with you. I mean, if they do trade that pick and Phoenix gets one, I think that they really can't go anyone else other than LaMelo. I don't think that Wiseman is in play at one just because of the teams that will likely be picking at one. I don't see no Twin Towers, you know, joining up in Minnesota, you know, pairing him with Karl Anthony Towns. I don't see him being drafted by only chance I really see is Golden State at two. Golden State's not going to trade up to draft him. I don't think that they want him that badly either. To give up any sort of capital. They're not in a position to really give up many assets either. But yeah, I don't know. I think the draft is already kind of throwing me off, not only because of the timing of it, but just the fact that we're not used to having like a lack of star power, I guess you can say. We have many more notable names usually in a draft pool, but a lot of these guys, I'm looking up the scouting report on them because I ain't never heard of them.
Yeah, like that new foreign guy who they said Golden State just fell in love with. Never heard his name until a week ago. Mm-mm, I still can't pronounce it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to the draft just to see how rosters fill out, but I don't think there are any franchise changers in this draft, and that's LaMelo and Wiseman included.
That's real.
I guess unless LaMelo goes to Charlotte, like Carl's theory, and that changes.
That's only if they trade for.
If they get Lonzo too.
Yeah, they got to get the brother, man. Get the Ball brothers in Charlotte. I bet you that whole franchise, like, value shoots up about $50 million.
It would. More than that. Probably about 125.
That'd be amazing for the city of Charlotte.
That's real. All right. So the other news in the NBA. So we knew, you know, while we weren't recording that Daryl Morey had stepped down from his position as GM in Houston, but it got picked up quickly with the Sixers. So now he's their president of basketball operations there with Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. But reports have come out that they are interested in pursuing James Harden to pair likely with Joel Embiid. What do y'all think about that? Is that something the Rockets should pursue? Or should, you know, not the Rockets should pursue, something the Rockets should agree to? Should they part ways with James Harden? What do y'all think about that?
I mean, should they part ways with James Harden?
Like your franchise player? For what? Like, what are you getting in return? That's the real question, because
why would you ready for a complete rebuild?
Because that's essentially Westbrook. Yeah. I mean, you can't have two. That would be the worst shooting back in the league, just first off. But then also, I don't think you that would be terrible for Russ, in my opinion, for him to go to Houston. D'Antoni's gone. Harden is gone. And now you're building with a whole new team and none of these people who you expect to be playing with in the first place. Like, I just don't know Houston doing that. Huh?
We saw Russell Westbrook, I want to say, make it to the sixth seed in the West in OKC. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that any four of us can name more than five players off that roster. If you, let's say, not for Ben Simmons, but let's say you get Al Horford, Tobias Harris, some picks, maybe like a young player like Smith or even just Richardson, whatever. You just get like a little package for James Harden. And you just say, forget it. We're going to keep Russ till his contract expires just so we can keep somebody in Houston. Russell Westbrook, Eric Gordon, Tobias Harris, PJ Tucker, Al Horford. I don't know if Robert Covington is a free agent or not. Houston can still make the playoffs. You still not compete.
You're going to give that James Harden, though.
Hmm?
Are they going
to? That's what they're going to have to give up if they want.
I don't see them putting the team just for James Harden. I mean, it'd be nice to have James Harden on your team, but I mean, you have to. You're basically just destroying your entire core of your team, I guess. But
is Ben Simmons and Embiid, like Tobias Harris and Al Horford, those are more like fillers with big contracts. That's people
and underachievers.
Exactly.
Then I mean, yeah. Who's the coach to that?
Doc
Rivers. Makes things very interesting.
And yeah. Daryl Morey as they knew. Is he an advisor?
He's the president of basketball operations.
Yeah, so I mean, it would make sense for them to try to get James over there. Former guy from Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, Daryl Morey talks a lot about how, you know, James Harden changed his life, you know, ultimately in Houston. You know, he's the one that traded for him and decided we're going to make this, you know, sixth man a star, you know, and look where he's at now. So, you know, he does owe a lot to James Harden. Robin?
Came out the gate balling.
Yeah. Came what, like back-to-back 40-point games?
Yeah, I want to say he had like 42 his first game. Came out balling. He looked like a genius.
Seriously. And I mean, and yeah, they haven't won the championship, but I mean, it still played out very well because Houston wasn't doing anything before that. So, yeah, I mean, it worked out in their favor. I'll talk about it from both sides. If I'm Philly, I make the trade. I pursue him. I give up whatever I need to give up because right now I'm not a fan of Simmons and Embiid just because you don't know what you're going to get from Ben Simmons, even more so than Embiid. Embiid, you kind of know what you're going to get. He does tend to be unhealthy, you know, which is an issue. But, you know, who wouldn't give up Ben Simmons and a couple other assets for James Harden? You know, even a 31-year-old James Harden, I would do that in a heartbeat. If I'm the Rockets, I don't know what their direction is. So if they are saying, hey, the style of play that we've been playing is not going to fly anymore and we need to get some new pieces in here and change our philosophy, it may not be a bad idea. And honestly, that trade package that didn't include Ben Simmons wasn't that bad of a package as Carl was naming off names. I'm like, yeah, it's not that bad. It sounds like a lot, but really taking back Al Horford's contract would be a favor to Philly because he's highly underachieved. Like, he's been terrible. So that's more so Houston doing Philly a favor as opposed to actually gaining an asset. Tobias Harris has come up short in the playoffs. Played well during the regular season, but during the playoffs, he takes a couple steps back, you know, in kind of the biggest moment. Yeah, and then you get a couple draft picks. The draft picks aren't really going to be much. So I'd probably get maybe your next three draft picks. They're probably going to be in the low 20s anyway. I would do it. I would do it. Just take a chance. What do you have to lose at this point? You're already not the best team in the East anyway. You already have teams that are leapfrogging you. I think we all thought that Philly was going to be one of the two or three best teams in the East. And what were they, the sixth seed? They're getting leapfrogged.
Emmy, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, so they're getting leapfrogged. So they got to make a move.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I think it'll be cool to see. I mean, at a certain point, if something don't work, you got to try something different anyways.
Exactly. I mean, they've been together 3 years at this point, Embiid and Simmons.
Yeah, something like that. And they both play better when the other's not on the floor.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they gotta do something. I mean, they got to figure something out.
Now, I think I don't know how it'll really affect Ben Simmons' game. Like, what do you do if you're Doc Rivers? Do you turn James Harden into a traditional two-guard at that point? Do you turn Ben Simmons into some sort of traditional forward who really just slashes and possibly just playmakes when necessary? Use him more as a primary defender defensively. I do question how Doc would coach that team. But James in Houston hasn't really worked out. Philly with these two hasn't really worked out. So something has to change at this point between the two. Mm-hmm. Or at least between both of them.
Yeah.
But I have seen something, and I honestly forgot to bring it up in the pre-show. I mean, I mentioned Drew Holiday. Pelicans have mentioned him as being available, but I've also seen things with DeMar DeRozan as well. And it looks like, you know, the two main teams that I've seen for the both of these individuals have been the Nets and Milwaukee. Which one do y'all feel like would fit with what team better?
I think both. Well, no. Drew Holiday is a better fit with the Nets, and I think DeMar is a better fit with the Bucks. Imagine if the Nets had Drew as their third option.
I also heard that Milwaukee was looking was looking to pursue Kyle Lowry as well.
I didn't hear that.
That's interesting.
You know, honestly, I kind of have it backwards. I think Drew would do a little bit better just for my mind with Milwaukee. And I think DeRozan would honestly be better with – I mean, at the end of the day, I guess it kind of depends on who would be giving up. But when I think about those, like those stars that really aren't going to be touched, I think DeMar is like that mid-range slasher. I think he would have to focus a little more on not being so much of a scorer, but a defender, which is where I do think maybe Drew would be better defensively. But I think just overall, I kind of think DeMar would fit a little bit better between Kyrie and KD. And I like Drew a little bit better because the Milwaukee Bucks are so they focus on defense so much. I feel like he's just going to plug in perfectly with them. But then also offensively, he can, you know, play make and be a little bit more consistent and be that guy that they feel like Eric Bledsoe hasn't been for them. Like, I feel like him as that third guy or that second guy, along with Chris Middleton next to Giannis, I think that would work a little bit better. And then especially because DeMar DeRozan hasn't really been known to shoot, I think with the Nets, with a Kyrie that can shoot, with a KD that can shoot, DeRozan isn't really going to need to do that. But I do kind of like the idea of either one. But I don't want to go too far away from, like, me being who I am, that guy that's not really big on, like, super teams and stuff. But just in terms of, like, what they're already talking about doing, I think that would be best. But I would honestly prefer that the two of them maybe go somewhere to make a bad team good and just provide a more, you know, maybe provide a little more competitiveness. But I even saw something about Drew possibly in Denver. Like them looking at him as well.
There's a couple of teams
that little dude in. He nice.
That's a team to watch next year. Mm. Or one of the teams to watch next year.
I even saw something about Chicago willing to trade Zach LaVine for Michael Porter Jr. and just building around Michael. Like they like him that much that instead of trying to bring him in to pair with Zach, they would just trade Zach away for Mike.
That's crazy.
I mean, Mike, but he's young
too. Give the third pick for him.
Wait, what did
we got the third pick?
Chicago got the third pick or fourth pick?
Huh?
Chicago's on fourth.
Yeah, that's right.
But still.
I mean, you do that, Denver could probably draft like an Obi. I think he'd be cool with them.
Yeah, that'd be pretty dangerous. And I mean, I think Michael Porter Jr. is one of those guys where I think now is a good time to kind of take him and say, okay, we're going to develop you into a star, as opposed to, because I think he can get lost in Denver's offense because it's so heavily leaned on Jokic and on Jamal Murray. Got other guys that step up. You still got Paul Millsap. Got guys like Gary Harris. You've got Will Barton. Is Michael Porter Jr. always going to be your consistent third guy that's going to get you 17 points a game? I just don't know because of the way that Denver plays. But that's what Michael Porter Jr. wants. He wants to be a consistent go-to guy. So if he can go get that somewhere else and be able to do that, I think that's who he is at heart anyway. He would have been that had he not gotten hurt.
Because I'm also wondering, like, how Zach LaVine would fit into Denver's offense, like being a guy who's, when you have Jokic who will give you 25, Jamal Murray we know can give you 25. Is this going to be their version of a big three as well, or
Right. Yeah.
And all I know is if Denver is really willing to trade Michael Porter Jr. and the Sacramento Kings don't get in on this, I'm going to be mad. If they don't trade their first round pick and Buddy Hield and 2 second round picks, I'm going to be hot.
I think they just said they stop Buddy.
Yeah, I'm not shocked because they haven't been treating him right. He's been doing well since we traded for him, for them to do what they did to him last season. I'm not even shocked.
Yeah. Absolutely. Man, well, the Kings don't want to trade for Michael Porter Jr. They'll say they're good with Harrison Barnes. They like what he brings to the table.
Bruh. Oh, my God. No, they're going
to To be honest,
Jabari Parker for no reason.
Jabari Parker's on his king.
Jabari Parker is like our 14th man.
It's such a sad story with Jabari Parker.
He's really like our 14th man.
That's terrible.
Like, why is he there?
You don't even have an actual position. Like, he's not a true power forward, he's not a small forward.
Last time I watched the game, like in the bubble where he was playing, he was in the fourth quarter at center. Like we the Rockets or something. Like he was just playing center for no reason.
That's fine.
It's really sad. I don't know what. They have Luke Walton as the coach. Why?
They thought they were on to something.
Yeah, man who couldn't do nothing for the Lakers. That's they thought they were on to that.
Right. Because he developed their young talent so well. So let me go develop this young talent in Sacramento.